to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In Bible study, homeschool their kids, and you just think, I worry about that. And then you see those witness booklets or whatever they're called that the Duggars use, and they're like top out at eighth grade. I mean, I just think homeschooling is a bad idea from soup to nuts. I don't care if you're a nuclear physicist.
Demonstrated knowledge of the subject matter, I would say, would be somewhat missing. This is Angie Sullivan talking on a podcast recently with Jennifer Welch. Until I had seen this, I had never heard of either of these people, but that's okay. I mean, people can be super famous in ways that I'm not familiar with, and that's fine. But yeah, you wouldn't believe how many women and moms in Bible study are homeschooling. Oh my God, not the Bible study moms. Gotta stop it. Homeschooling is a terrible idea from soup to nuts, even if you're a nuclear physicist. Gosh, why though? Because you don't trust individual mothers to educate their own children? Because you don't actually believe that smaller class sizes are more productive? You know, because the old argument is, you know, how can 20 to 1 be, you know, better than 10 to 1 or 1 to 1 or, you know, in our case, like, you know, 3 to 1. Just fascinating, though, how people get their convictions. And yeah, it's true that, you know, education can be hard and it's not as easy as you think to homeschool. But they're especially these days. This is not like the old Wild Wild West days where, you know, half the time it was illegal or the state would come after you for homeschooling and there's no curriculum. There's all kinds of resources out there now to make homeschooling possible. But OK, so Angie Sullivan continues.
I think it's just weird as that you want your kids.
I censored her for obvious FCC reasons, but so demonstrating phenomenal erudition in your critique.
I think it's just weird as that you want your kids around you all day, every day, and all night.
What?
And just the socialization. For me personally, it was that I would have gotten up on my hands and knees and strapped them to my back and crawled to get them to school every day, just to get them where I wasn't. So I don't trust somebody that wants to be with their kids 24/7.
I mean, you're making all my points for me, I think. Like, her greatest dream in life was to get rid of her kids. She hated them so much. I just don't trust anybody who bleeping likes to bleeping be around their bleeping kids. Okay. You're kind of proving my point. Plus socialization. I'll just tell you from experience that, you know, my wife homeschooled our kids, you know, K through 12, except for middle school, grade 6 to 8 for both of our two younger who went to Brown Barge, which is a very good school. Okay. It's certainly a great school by Escambia County standards, still a pretty good school. Anti-socialization is the thing you're looking for. It does not make them better little people. It made them worse little people. And they actually fell behind academically compared to where they had been under her homeschool. She had to fix the stuff that went wrong in public school educationally. So, Angie, you've got it just backwards. But I get it. You hate your kids. You want to get rid of them.
I think a lot of dumb people do it because it's just easier. And that's a concern. And I've had divorce cases that, like, mom's mad at dad. They're fighting over whose school district the kid's going to use their address. They put him on homeschool. It's like 2 or 3 hours a day at the computer. And then the kid's going just off to the races. So I just can't think of very many good things about homeschooling.
I understand you can't, as apparently a divorce lawyer who's super pro-family.
This is trickle-down stupidity. This is MAGA on steroids. This is MAHA. This is trad wife. This is unvaxxed and unjacked and all that. this is the worst in this is America has a crazy Christian problem. We have a fundamental crazy Christian problem.
Hey, if you can't come up with a new way to say it, just repeat the old one with more emphasis. Hey, look, it's good to know where people are. Give credit where credit is due. At least they're honest. They have absolute contempt for the traditional family, for stay-at-home moms, for people who actually like to be around their kids, for the notion of taking responsibility for the raising and rearing of your own children. Total and utter contempt for you. This is not everybody who is liberal. This is not everybody who's anti-homeschool, but this is not that far out of the mainstream for that contingent in the world. And I just thought it was a very entertaining way to see a peek behind the curtain of, as I say, the outstanding vocabulary and the rigorous logic and knowledge that these women are demonstrating about a subject that they clearly know, oh, so little about. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Highway 9 is clear from Milton into Pace. Still just one vehicle crash on the board, and that is Gulf Beach Highway at Navy Boulevard. Roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Find out in the Transgressive Memorial Service. No, that wasn't it. That was just like a news story. So find out next in the Transgressive Memorial Service why Caitlin Clark is in trouble with Brother Andrew. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nicewanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nicewanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future, from AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center, featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out, September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for WNBA star Caitlin Clark, who, as you all know, has already been under our watchful eye for some time because of her noticeable silence on so many of the issues we, the people of the Holy Acronym String, care so much about. We recently canceled her Indiana Fever teammate Sophie Cunningham due to her hateful, transphobic comments that women's sports is not a place for biological men. As a result of that act of verbal violence, there have sadly been demonstrators celebrating Cunningham, which prompted Seattle Storm co-owner Celeste Keaton to call some of those supporters bleeping insane outside a game against the Fever. Sadly, the WNBA then suspended Keaton for 5 games. As a follow-up, during a press conference this week, a reporter asked Caitlin Clark how she and her teammates have been navigating this topic in their locker room.
I think for us, like, you know, it's not really a discussion we really have in our locker room. I think it's for leagues and the governing bodies to work with their athletes to find solutions, but our focus is on basketball, and that's what we talk about and how we can get wins, and obviously we didn't do that tonight, so we need to find an area to improve in that way.
Oh, dear Otherin, this is really, really bad. Now, I know at first glance it might seem like she didn't say anything problematic at all. In fact, she seemed to entirely avoid giving her opinion about athletes identified male at birth competing in women's sports. But that is the problem here. It was precisely her choice to not answer the question and not take a stand that is so outrageous. Silence is worse than heresy. Yes, it was bad when the Duchess of finger-pointing herself, Sophie Cunningham, took the wrong side on this vital human rights issue, but at least in so doing, she validated both the importance of the subject and the necessity of all humans expressing their views on everything all the time. By saying nothing, Caitlin was either declaring the subject isn't important enough to talk about, or that athletes should focus on playing sports and not comment on polarizing no-win social matters, or both. And when the reporter bravely followed up, kindly offering Clark a chance to atone for her sin of silence, she dismissed him even more rudely.
Did you have any, you know, reaction to the...
I just answered for you.
In doing this, Clark is actually going even harder in the wrong direction. She's basically saying, my non-answer is my answer. She's almost scolding him by implying that people hired to play a sport should just do that task without making it political or using their platform to bend the arc of the no-dunks universe toward justice. We obviously disagree with Cunningham, but at least she's playing our game of treating trans rights as a subject all athletes should comment on. Clark isn't even dignifying this with a response, a dismissal far worse than any mere disagreement. The heretics who oppose DEI, our holy trinity of buzzwords, often say athletes should just shut up and dribble, instead of engaging in social commentary. As if being an athlete is about playing sports and not about transfiguring your physical prowess into pretend expertise about politics and ethics. Clark is embracing this advice, in essence saying, let me just shut up and dribble. Which is exactly the problem. As a straight white female basketball star, we expect her to admit her privilege, apologize for her whiteness, admit that being straight is the result of heteronormative oppression, and use her fame to advance our racial, sexual, and gender causes, making her at least an ally of the rainbow, if not a rainbow person herself. As you all know, Flatick's third doctrine of identity politics teaches us that we are all obligated to take a stance on everything we believe in at all possible times, for it is our issues that make us who we are, and who we are is nothing if we don't let politics saturate everything. So for committing a grave sin, a true spiritual felony, premeditated, first degree, keeping your opinion to yourself, with contempt for the court of progressive opinion, Caitlin Clark, we cast thee out. May the flames of our fury spark in you a burning fever of repentance. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, retired Air Force Major General Dr. Mark Brown, president and CEO of Alabama's Tuskegee University. Now, you know that normally we would almost never consider canceling a black president of a historically black college or university. But when you hear what Brown has done for you lately, I think you'll agree this is necessary. This week, the president of this HBCU announced in a note to all students the institution of a new policy for campus attire. He told the young adults they are now, quote, prohibited from wearing revealing clothes in class. They're also not able to wear bedroom shoes, bonnets, or do-rags in class or the cafeteria. Also banned are hats, headscarves, caps, hoods, bandanas, or any other head coverings and sunglasses. They can't wear short shorts, swimsuit bottoms, bodysuits, sleeveless undershirts, and even t-shirts worn as dresses and sagging pants are not permitted. Baggy or loose-fitting pants must be worn with a belt that fits around the waist. The code even requires full business attire at professional events like job fairs. I'll pause while you consider how serious this is. This black retired general has just banned virtually every element of black youth clothing from being worn at a black university. A member of the Proud Boys could hardly have done a more thorough job of writing this dress code. But why is this so important? Because he's basically telling these young black students that they must assimilate to white cultural norms if they're going to succeed in the white business world, and he thinks this is a good thing. Look, just because Asians and Middle Easterners have long practiced cultural assimilation as a method of succeeding in the U.S., that doesn't mean that African Americans should do so. In fact, if any racial group is justified in resisting the oppression of white supremacy culture, it's the students at an HBCU. Remember, it's very important to our entire project of permanent racial division that we continue to keep black Americans feeling angry and resentful toward white Americans for past and ongoing racial injustice. But it's also very important to keep white Americans feeling guilty and ashamed of their ancestors' role in this injustice. The only way to keep both of these things going on in perpetuity is to constantly maintain a separate but equal cultural divide between blacks and whites. We need non-unity to keep preaching the importance of unity. We need separation to keep preaching the rightness of coming together. If black students fit in, get ahead, and prosper, how will we continue to keep them deprived and enslaved to the Democratic Party like we've done for 50 years? And this black general has just announced to the world that American black culture has a professionalism problem that isn't the fault of Whitey, but it's the fault of his own people. How dare he? How can these students go into white professional spaces, reject dominant cultural norms, demand accommodations, and perpetuate racial resentment for refusing to fit in if they simply agree to fit in? It's outrageous, and Brown must go. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
626 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Still working that vehicle crash and roadblock, Gulf Beach Highway at Navy Boulevard. Still a roadblock there, so use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Into the newsroom now, David Wayne has our headlines for us. David?
And good morning. President Trump now says the Strait of Hormuz is sort of open right now. There's still no deal in place, though. He told reporters yesterday that negotiations are continuing. So that's your latest Strait of Hormuz update.
Outstanding.
A federal judge says Haitian migrants in the U.S. have now officially lost their temporary protected status. That follows a Supreme Court ruling allowing the Trump administration to end that program. That affects about 300,000 Haitians who had been protected from deportation. And the Dodgers are the first MLB team to gross more than $1 billion in revenue. That's according to ESPN's Jeff Passan, who says that Shohei Ohtani earns more than $100 million per year off the field.
Shohei, by the way.
Shohei. Yeah, I think I do that every time.
That's all right.
But he believes they'll gross more than $1 billion again this coming year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 627 here on News Radio 92.3. Facebook, Meta, Instagram, and Meta's the parent company, is going to pay $567 million to address kids' mental health that they have adversely affected through a variety of basic failures or deliberate choices to not make their social media platforms particularly safe for kids, with things that we've talked about many, many, many times. Judge Brian, I don't know how to say it. I'm going to say Biedscheid. Biedscheid. You tell me if I've got it wrong. When you've got an EI and an IE in your name, I mean, you're breaking all the rules. Anyway, ruling late last night that the bulk of the money, $420 million, will be used for treatment services for young people. The rest will go to awareness and prevention, screening services, and other costs over the next 5 years. This is the second phase of the landmark trials. This is in addition to the $375 million civil penalties jurors ordered against Meta in March, after deciding that Meta deliberately, knowingly harmed children's mental health and hid what it knew about, for example, sexual exploitation of children on its platform. This time, it's asking the judge to put in basic reforms at Meta aimed at getting, you know, less addictive platforms, fewer addictive features, improving age verification. By the way, there's a weird little wrinkle about age verification that I had never considered before, but it came out in this article I was reading. You want to verify a child's age before you let them come on the platform, right? But age verification of minors is requiring you to collect information about minors that might be prohibited by the Child Online Privacy Protection Act. Like, if you're trying to verify that they're too young, you're actually trying to gather information from them that might actually be prohibited. You follow? So it's kind of a, it's a weird kind of catch-22. I'm not sure what the solution to that's going to be. And the, don't get too excited, though, about the billion-dollar fine, because it's, if you add the two together, it's like $940 million. How much did Meta make last year? BJ, you want to take a stab at this? It's obviously a number that starts with B.
$5
billion. Oh, 60.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a drop in the bucket.
You know, what's a billion here or there when you're making 60 a year in profit? So this is, less than 0.5% or something like that? Oh, no, their stock went down less than 0.5%. And it's right in the vicinity of, about 1.5% of their... I mean, they're going to fight it. Of course they're going to fight it. And they're going to say, we didn't do anything wrong, but we'll try to do better in the future. And, you know, we didn't do anything harmful, but we'll stop harming people as much in the future. And, well, you know, they're talking about all kinds of things like, you know, warnings and, you know, when you enter the platform, if you need help, like treating it like, which is proper to treat it like it's a medically dangerous or criminally dangerous or addictive behavior, right?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump says an agreement with Iran could be reached soon as Tehran claims it's in the final stage of talks to reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
I think we're doing very well. I just, you know, I'm involved in the negotiation. I think we're doing fine. It could be soon.
The deal has not been finalized. The president says the U.S. Navy is continuing to enforce the blockade around Iran. Tennessee 3 lawmaker Justin Pearson winning the Democratic House primary in the state's newly redrawn 9th congressional district. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
In another crucial race, incumbent Republican Congressman Andy...
Police chief is asking for more money in the city budget to raise wages for police officers and dispatchers. Chief Jennifer Frank recently saying current pay lags behind neighboring agencies like Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. She is requesting an 8.25% increase, which could add up to $5,000 a year to salaries. Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow said it's the first time in years she's heard the department ask for more funding. There are a couple more budget hearings that remain before the council would vote on a final budget. LA union representing TSA officers is suing the Transportation Security Administration, saying they want more information about plans to privatize passenger screening at Tampa's airport and two other airports across the nation. The union's general counsel, Rushab Sanghvi, says the TSA has not been transparent about this
They're
process.
They're the ones who are supposed to make the request on whether or not the airport should convert to this Goal Plus. And we still don't know when they made that application, how they made that application.
The lawsuit claims the TSA didn't respond to a Freedom of Information Act request seeking records on the program. Tampa's airport says using private screeners could potentially avoid disruptions during future government shutdowns. A fraternity at the University of Miami is under investigation for hazing. The school's investigating Phi Delta Theta after a video posted online shows a pledge with their pants on fire and others being forced to eat or drink until they got sick. UM tells the Miami Hurricane that anybody who violated its code of conduct will be held accountable. 6:35, let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I-10 and 110 both continue to look good right now. Highway 29, accident-free through Cantonment. Still dealing with a vehicle crash on the board. That's going to be Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard. Roadblock there, so use caution. Also have a brand-new disabled vehicle on the roadway. I-10 westbound right at mile marker 10. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful summertime day today with a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Heading into Sunday, a 30% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, high near 89 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
78 degrees with clear skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Job growth likely picked up in July, offering reassurance that the labor market remained resilient. Reuters economists predict that non-farm payrolls likely increased by 80,000 last month. The Labor Department's employment report, due out today, is expected to show the employment rate remain unchanged at 4.2%. SK Hynix said it will invest just over $38 billion to build two new memory chip manufacturing plants. Memory prices have surged because of short supply and huge demand, with investors watching closely for any changes to the supply-demand imbalance. Volkswagen's top investor is calling on the auto giant to take immediate action to fend off intensifying competition from Chinese car brands. CNBC reports that the carmaker also confirmed that it is looking to cut up to 100,000 jobs as it seeks to counter a profit slump. Futures have risen this morning ahead of the big jobs report later today. NASDAQ futures up by more than 100 points. That's Your Money Now.
That'll be $84.52.
Perfect. Grab the bags, honey.
Mom, why do you always check your phone before we pay?
I'm just claiming my cash back on the Upside app. Since we're getting the groceries here and we filled up the car on the way, I've already earned enough this morning to pay for that pizza night we're having Friday.
Wait, so the app pays for pizza?
Not exactly, but the cash I earn on stuff we need helps us pay for the stuff we want. It's just a little win for our family every week.
Get more out of your everyday. Upside is the free app that gets you cash back on routine purchases like gas, groceries, and dining out at more than 100,000 locations nationwide. No points, no rebates, just cash back straight to your wallet. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus on your first purchase. That's promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus. Remember, use promo code ACT5.
Offers vary by user and location at participating merchants. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. Brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The rebuilding process is already well underway in Iran.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's looking for an exit strategy right now, though. I don't know what's going on. All I know is somebody has had it with Arabic music.
That was a good transition, man.
Had it.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Yes, we do intend to provide a bill to the city at the conclusion of the audit. We are going to evaluate where we're at total. We normally would apply a discount to the city services, and so we'll evaluate that. The indication that I sent was just where we are at right now with additional time that's been incurred. I wanted to make you aware of that.
So Krista McAllister from Warren Averett, the person who is doing the audit for the city of Milton and helping them through this, I won't call it a crisis. I think, again, my prediction is that when all is said and done, no money will be missing and the amount of wiggle room on the reconciliations is going to be very small. We'll see when we get the official word. But that's my prediction based on everything I've seen so far. But because we find out that the reconciliations weren't done for quite some time, and this is all connected in some way to the dismissal of Curtis Krebs, former CFO, and there's been a lot of drawn-out drama over this. It's not that any money was missing. It's just that the, you know, the second-level verification, basically, that no money was missing, that all the money was used properly, had not been done properly. And Kristen is great. She has been working diligently, even for years, doing the audits. And so she's been working with the city and trying to, you know, fix this problem. Well, never let good intentions and quality, capable people get in the way of Mike Cusack browbeating an employee or, in this case, a contract worker.
Yeah, I just got one question. This out-of-scope perform of work that you did, was it discussed with the city manager before you performed it and he gave you the okay to go ahead with it?
He was aware of everything and all the additional effort that we were providing. It was highly unusual for us to return to City Hall to continue working. When we came, we had an outline listing of our outstanding scope items, and he assembled the city team to help us resolve those items. So I would have assumed everyone was aware of what was happening at that point in time.
This agenda item is her basically, they've notified the city that there's going to be extra fees. Because they've had to do extra work, because the city didn't do its part of bringing all the documents and data properly up to date to the process of doing the audit. And so that's why they were behind. That's why there's been extra time. There's going to be an extra fee. That's what this is all about, okay?
So what you're saying is you got the okay to perform the out-of-scope work.
Oh, stop.
with a dollar figure, without a dollar figure? That's what I'm trying to get to. Who gave you the authorization to perform the out-of-scope work at $15,000 or at any amount?
I would say at that point, Ed was aware of what was happening, but there was no discussion of stopping to have an out-of-scope discussion.
So you just took it upon yourself to do out-of-scope work without consulting the manager of the city?
Oh, my God.
We discussed everything we were doing with the city manager.
So in other words, you got the approval from the city manager to go do the out-of-scope work without council approval for a dollar amount then? Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to get it clear for the public.
I will say we discussed everything we were working on with the city manager.
Okay, well, didn't answer. That's fine.
You have a very competent auditor going out of her way to solve a problem that was suddenly discovered, a very competent city manager going out of his way to try to solve a problem that was suddenly discovered. Oh, and they didn't pause for a month to come to city council and get some official approval in the middle of a contract over. It's not really even out of scope work. It's just extra work within the scope to try to get the audit done on time so they didn't have funding put in jeopardy because they hadn't made the deadlines that was created by this problem in the first place. And your worry is, why didn't you come ask daddy for permission? I try to give Mike Cusack as much benefit of the doubt as I can, but he just has a knack for getting it wrong and for just being such a Mike Cusack to people. I mean, he just is all the time. It's so absurd. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that one. Use caution. I'm PJ with her traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Heather Lindsay, the mayor, even she's kind of like,
Did you understand the agreement to require you to come to council or to go to the city manager and for the city manager to go to council?
This is an unprecedented situation that we're in, and being very transparent that we were working with the city as a partner and we were trying to achieve helping the city meet the deadline for the June 30th filing.
We were trying to solve the problem, folks. What's your deal? At least Larry McKee gets it.
But sounds of everything you were just describing and when you're answering some of the questions to other council members, it doesn't sound like you're actually talking about out-of-scope work as much as excessive work. The scope of the job stayed the same.
Right.
it just became more because you weren't getting the things you needed, so there was more time involved in getting same things accomplished.
There were there's additional effort that was required because the information was not audit ready when we received it and the reconciliations were not completed.
But your job itself isn't going outside of what you already had as your scope that's approved by the sounds of just more time involved doing it. Is that correct?
It is additional effort that was required. The scope of the engagement would include an audit that included audit-ready books where management had provided completed reconciliations.
Yeah, look, and what's your alternative? Like, I'd love to ask Mike Cusack, what's your alternative? Were you going to bring in yet another outside agency to do the work that had to be done? Somebody had to do the work that's not familiar with the process, that you don't already have an agreement with, who's not going to give you a discount like Warren Averett's going to do. Like, you're going to browbeat her for this or Ed for this or whomever, but what is your better alternative to actually accomplish the solving the problem? I don't hear one. So Marilyn Farrow is in there, and, you know, she's like, you know, I've read the contract. There's no provision for this. Heather Lindsay says, nobody contemplated the city totally failing their obligations. You know, and always remember that in the backdrop, the Pitchfork Posse aligned Milton Concerned Citizens, Blackwater, this all kind of overlapping organizations with similar people populating all of them. Heather Lindsay, Marilyn Farrow, Mike Cusack are their folks. Okay. So, you know, when you hear Marilyn and Heather and Mike talking, they're all basically talking out of the same, you know, well. So they wind up voting 6-2 to pass the approval to have the funding. Marilyn and Mike voted against it. Again, what's your alternative? What would be your better way to spend money in order to get a better deal on solving this problem? Then they come back to this later on in the meeting and talk about it. Ed Spears.
When Kristen brought to my attention in May, Mrs. McAllister, when she brought to my attention in May the issues, it was a list of these are the things we need. I put a team together. They came in and we made assignments to get the work done, and our team went to work. It wasn't until July 6th, the day before the date on this memo from Warren Averett, that she said, oh, by the way, just so you know, this is out of scope and there's going to be additional fees. And I was like, well, send me a letter. That letter is dated July 7th, and I believe I sent it to you on July 8th.
Well, it just seems like you're kind of throwing her under the bus.
I'm not, because she agreed with me. Mm-hmm. That, yes, that is exactly what happened. We went to work on a problem thinking we could solve it and get the audit done by June 30th. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And she's been, for the record, the most tremendous partner this city could ever ask for. She's been professional. She has been on time, on task, constantly working with us, dedicated, because she cares.
They didn't stop to have this big negotiation because they were trying to fix it. And Ed knows that Kristen is great. And, I mean, they have been working their tails off to get this done. And here you come after the fact with a non-alternative criticism and just whining that they didn't come and ask you for permission before going ahead and doing the work that obviously had to be done anyway.
And once again, I've said it before, and I will say it again, I've done more on this issue of reconciling bank statements for this government since May the 15th than anyone has done in the last 20 years.
Because this problem of the reconciliations is not new. It's been different forms.
If that seems defensive, if it seems me going on attack, I'm sorry. Because all I've been is under attack for not telling, not describing, withholding. It's not true, folks. As soon as this came to my attention, we went to work on it with the attempt to get it done by the deadline. As soon as we realized we had a much bigger problem than we understood, when it came into focus, every one of you was individually briefed. And you were told what I was going to do.
Right. Exactly. Within a day, he sends out the letter. And he's telling everybody about it. And there are some good people on council. Like, I mean, Casey Powell is a very capable person. He actually does audits, I think, is his business. So he really knows this material. I've never quite figured out why the guy who gets an ethics charge and can't seem to figure out financial things and actually winds up flubbing the negotiations with Scott Collins, Mike Cusack, gets put back in charge of the finances instead of Casey Powell, who should really be the right person for it. But okay. He says, I'm just tired of all you people who don't know what you're talking about injecting yourself into this conversation.
You know, I know there's been a lot of speculation. There's been a lot of things that have been said. And unfortunately, I feel like the things that have been said are by people who have absolutely no idea, how we got here any more than we do. So I think it's not fair to jump to certain conclusions without putting in the work.
Casey's so diplomatic the way he says it, but that's what he says. Keep your business, you know, keep your nose out of the business that you don't know anything about.
No, I've seen it many times in this room where we don't, you know, we don't necessarily ask questions of the city manager till we get in here. And I'm not really sure why that happens. I mean, if you have a question, you need something clarified from the city manager or have the staff, you know, talk you through a problem, then why are we coming in here to do it in a political forum instead of just doing our job? That's my question.
Hint, Mike. You can call the city manager. You can call other people before you come in here and try to embarrass. Or maybe it's because you are trying to score political points in the public meeting instead of actually getting done the business of the city and making sure that it's done properly. I don't know. Maybe that's the read here.
You know, if you have a problem with something, then you go and you have those conversations and you try to come up to a resolution so that when you come into this room, you can say, hey, I've had this conversation. This is where I think we need to go. But what ends up happening is we have a lot of I got you moments by, you know, the general public and us as a council sometimes where it's not productive.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. Even biblically, you know, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them privately, bring two or three of them, bring it in front of the whole congregation. Right. Now, that's they're not talking about business in that, but it's basically that's the right advice instead of publicly bringing it all up all of a sudden.
The first thing that we talked about when we started talking about this issue with the audit is we need to get to the end of the audit process so that we know exactly what the findings are so that we can effectively come up with a plan of action to make this happen.
Right.
Obviously, there's some steps that can be taken in the meantime for mitigation. But we're still at the position where, you know, the first accusations or things that were coming out was, oh, we're missing, all this money's missing, where someone stole the money from the city. And that
please
hasn't
keep
been...
order in the audience. Only Mr. Powell is speaking. Excuse me, sir.
I'm sorry. That hasn't, at this time, come to fruition. I'm not saying it won't. I don't know. We're not at the end yet.
Right. Wait until the end, and then we'll know what we're dealing with. Then Robert Leake asked, City Councilman Robert Leake asked a question about how far behind are we, where are we at with the money. Kristen McAllister says, look, we're about 6 months caught up of the year, so we have another 6 months to go. We're batching it and verifying it as fast as we possibly can. But how much money are we really talking about?
And so Monday, I do anticipate having the full year over to the auditor.
And then you will have that final figure.
I will have that final number. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Laura, is it accurate to say after 6 months, the gap was less than $20,000?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. So that large number,
yes.
It's already?
Already.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's big news. Like that, we dropped the lead, clearly. Yeah. So the work that you've been doing indicates that instead of $590,000 as a reconciliation error, we're looking at something south of $20,000 as a reconciliation error.
Only through 6 months, but absolutely.
So at the time she did this, they were half done with the catch-up. They were 6 months through it. And instead of being a $600,000 reconciliation gap or of unverified, you know, like they just didn't know within that amount, it turns out that it was only at 20. I'm sure it has gone down since. And in fact, it might be within just the normal wiggle room of how these things work financially. So it's just, it's so frustrating. I hate to see good people treated badly. I really do. And I feel like particularly Mike Cusack goes out of his way to get things wrong, misunderstand, and then treat good people badly. He would be the person, if I worked for the city of Milton, that I would most dread having to interact with. Now, I think Marilyn is a lot like that, and they're aligned. I mean, they kind of work from the same playbook. She just does it with a sweeter tone a lot of times, okay, which is, I mean, to her credit, but, you know, Heather is on their side too, you know, Pitchfork Posse aligned. That's the contingent, who also controls the other four seats as well. And, hey, we're in qualifying. So if you hear me talking about this and you think to yourself, you know what, I think I might want to do something about this. I think I can do it better. Guess who's unopposed in the election? Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow. Gavin is also up for re-election. I think he's unopposed. Somebody who is opposed, and this is a little bit of breaking news. I don't think anybody's reported this yet. Howard Steele is running against Heather Lindsay. You will have a choice for mayor. A very, very stark contrast choice for mayor. So you will be able to decide in the city of Milton who you want to vote for, what the shape of your city government should be going forward. And if you think it's going great, reelect the same people. You won't have a choice in two of the races unless somebody steps up to run for opponents. 656 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic for us.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. 9 miles accident-free. Not showing any delays in Car City either. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
It's just, to me, it's a very simple principle. Hire good people, let them do their job. Instead of hire good people and then browbeat them and micromanage them and look over their shoulder and accuse them of things inappropriately all the time. That's extraordinarily counterproductive. Hey, if you've got complex systems in your home that need repair or just service or even preventative maintenance, you know, plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, Peden does that. They've been doing it since 1969 all along the Gulf Coast from Tallahassee to Baldwin County and even into Mobile in the last couple of years. With 100% satisfaction guarantee, good quality work done right the first time. And one of the things I want you thinking about is preventative maintenance. You know, you don't have to wait till something breaks for you to prevent the break from happening, because the breaks are more inconvenient, catastrophic, usually are, you know, come at a very bad time, and also cost you a lot of money. So right now, one of the things I want you thinking about is plumbing. You know, your showers, your laundry are always working. The faucets are always working, and little things can become big things pretty quickly. So get ready for smooth running back to school mornings with a $59 Peden plumbing check today. Peden, the pros you can trust, PEADEN.com.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxson-Teston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability and housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You got any ideas?
Drop your weapon!
Surrounding themselves.
Somebody texts in and says, I would vote for breathing over some of these folks. 659, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, the Senate's hoping to get a few final things done before leaving Washington today for a five-week recess. Majority Leader John Thune telling Politico they're hoping to pass a stopgap funding bill and a bill imposing sanctions on Russia.
All right. Yay-ish.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP.